Well, I believe we're about ready to move in, don't you? I really believe that with all my heart. It's not going to take me long. And so we appreciate you, Brother Shepherd. Let us come be with you this weekend. I sure enjoyed the service yesterday, the men's meeting, and I enjoyed the service this morning and the good time of fellowship we've had. And, sad to have to separate from folks that you love and appreciate. But I'm thankful that there's another meeting place where we'll not have to separate anymore. We're going to take and be there through all eternity. I've had some folks look at me like, I don't know if I can be that long with you or not, but if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to have to. Praise the Lord. And so I appreciate the work of the Lord. I appreciate the Lord letting me do for Him. He's done so much for me. And He asked for all of us. I appreciate the good message and song. I could leave right now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But I think the Lord's got more for us tonight from His blessed Word. And you pray for us just for a few minutes. I'll try not to be long. My wife says you say that, but you sure preach a long time. But I enjoy God's Word.
Amen.
And it gets to us before it ever gets to the pew.
That's right.
And so you pray for me. I feel like I've not studied enough on this to do it justice, but I feel like this is where the Lord would have us to be tonight. And it's found in three different passages of Scripture, but I want you to look tonight in the book of Luke, chapter number 8. This is where I think the Lord would have us to be. Luke, chapter number 8. I'll just take the time to read just a few verses here. Begin reading in verse number 22. If you feel like standing tonight, what time we read this passage of Scripture, you can stand. But if you don't feel like it, I understand that. You can stay seated if you don't feel like it. But the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse number 22, said, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he..." That being Jesus, "went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us go over unto the other side of the lake.' And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he, that being Jesus, fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then he, that being Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, 'Where is your faith?' And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even he... For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" You can be seated. May God add His blessings to the reading of His precious Word tonight. I want to draw your attention to this passage of Scripture. It's also found in the book of Matthew chapter 8, the book of Mark chapter number 4. If you want to read it sometimes, you can find it there. But for the sake of time, we'll not read it. And so as I begin to take and read this passage of Scripture and the others and kind of dwell on it a little bit, I got to thinking about, here they are. The Bible tells us that he tells his disciples, "Get in a ship and let's go over to the other side." And when he gets to sailing, I tell you, he goes to sleep, and the Bible talks about a storm beginning to take and come upon them. Now they had been in storms before, but nothing like this storm. And you read and study about the disciples, most of them, I'll tell you, were fishermen, and they had been on this water before, they had been in boats before, But this son, they couldn't take and do anything about it. And so I think they done, Brother Preston, I think they done as much as they could. And when they saw that they could not take and do any more, the Bible said they went to Jesus, went to the Master, and said, "Master, Master, wake up. I said, we're going to take and perish." And the Bible said that he got up and began to take and rebuke the winds and the waves and the water. And the Bible said there was a great calm. I began to take and come upon the water. I like that, don't you? And so I guess the disciples did also. When they began to take and see what he done. But they were so amazed when he done that. That the Bible said that they said, "What manner of man is this? That into the winds and the waves obey him." Amen. He's in charge.
Amen.
Amen. And so I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, if God help us, on this little thought, on why storms are sent to us. Now I know, this passage of scripture. I thought, why would God, Brother Josh, let that storm come to them, and they were in obedience to His command, they were following instructions, they were doing everything they was told to do, and this storm comes up. I'll tell you what time during the ship, and I thought, why would the Lord let that, everything God does, He's got a reason and a purpose for it. And so I begin to think on why this storm. And I jotted down a few things. Now I don't know about you, but I don't like storms, do you? I don't like them when they come up out there, and I don't like them when they come in out here. And so I do not like storms. They bother me. We got storms out here a few days ago back home, and I'll tell you, that lightning and thunder, and that thunder some up running straight up and down and run across the sky. I'll tell you, I do not like storms. But I'll tell you, hey, just because that we're saved by the grace of God, we are not exempt from storms. Are they going to come? Have they come to the saved? Have they come to the saints? Have they come to the sinners? I'll tell you, hey, they're coming to us all. But we, that saved by the grace of God, can I say tonight, nothing can get to us, I'll tell you, unless He permits it. Hey, it's got to go through the Father's hands before it can get to us. And so if He lets it come by our way, there's a reason and a purpose in that for it. And sometimes I think it is to try us a little bit. Sometimes I think it is to get our attention, whatever what it is. I'll tell you, God is still in control. And so why did He take and let this storm take and come through on them? If you ever wonder why you're trying to live for the Lord, do what you can for the Lord, and things come your way, and you're doing the best you can, or you think that you're doing the best you can, and you think you're in the center of His will. You think you're in obedience and that to Him. And so I thought, why would God take and do it? And I thought, Brother Shepherd, listen, it's not to hurt us. It's not to harm us. It's not to get us hard-hearted. I tell you, everything God does for us and does to us is to help us. And so sometimes I think He lets that happen. And storms come to us how to take and mold us and make us where we'll be more like Him, where we can shine brighter, get more of the rough edges knocked off us, where we can shine brighter and brighter for Him, where we can stand strong for Him, where we can be more solid. I'll tell you, for Him, God's got a reason and a purpose. I'll tell you for that. So as I begin to study a little bit about this, I've got to thinking about why how the storms come. Let me give you two or three things tonight why I think the Lord let the storm come. Listen upon these disciples to help them and bless them. Make them stronger, get them closer that to the Lord. I tell you, when it's all said and done, they were amazed. I tell you, yeah, they were so amazed when it's all over and done with God to the other side. And so let me give you two or three. Sometimes I think the Lord lets us let storms come to us. Let some things come our way. As a child of God, as one that's saved by the grace of God, I think He lets it come our way to reveal to us. That word reveal means to make known to us or to show us, how to enlighten us some things in our life. I think He let this storm come to them to reveal to them how frail, how fragile, and how feeble they really are. I won't tell you, we're living in a time of where a lot of people think they can do, I'll tell you, a lot on their own. But I'm telling you tonight, upon the authority of God's Word, you can't do nothing without Him. Hey, we're so frail and so feeble, we're so fragile, I'll tell you, that we can't get by without Him. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for Him, I'll tell you, our lungs couldn't take and breathe in His air and exhale. If it wasn't for Him, I'll tell you, our heart couldn't beat and pump the blood through the body. I'll tell you, what I'm saying is, I'll tell you, we're so fragile and we're so frail and we're so feeble that we can't do nothing without Him. And so now the Bible don't say, but I can see them. Listen, Isaiah, I tried to bail that water out, and other passages of scriptures that we can take and read, they were doing everything that they could. But by and through that, Brother Shepherd, I'll tell you, the Lord was showing them, I'll tell you, that they needed Him, that they could not take and do it without Him. God help us tonight to see you. I'll tell you that we've got to have, I'll tell you, the Lord working in our life. And I say, praise His name for what He can take and do. And so I begin to take and think, I mentioned how frail that we are. I'll tell you, that storm could have tore them all to pieces. I'll tell you, that waves was so bad. I thought, I'll tell you, they were so frail and so feeble. They were so weak in that storm. I'll tell you, compared to it, they were so weak that they couldn't take and do anything with it. They had to go to Him.
Amen.
You know what the Lord wants us to do?
Yeah.
He wants us to go to Him.
Right.
He wants us to depend, I'll tell you, upon Him.
Right.
We depend upon ourselves a lot. I'll tell you, we depend upon, I'll tell you, a lot of things. But I won't tell you tonight, we're saved by the grace of God. We're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price. And I'll tell you, God expects us to take and depend and upon Him. So what He was doing, He was revealing to them. I'll tell you, He's revealing to them. Listen, how frail, how fragile, how feeble, I'll tell you, they are. And we're the same way, friend. I'm telling you, we are the same way. I'll tell you, when things come our way, listen, we might take and have somebody help us a little bit. We might go to the bank and I'll tell you, get a little money. Listen, along the way, but I'm telling you what He wants. He don't want us to depend upon them. He wants us to depend and not upon. So He has done that, I think, to reveal to them how weak and I'll tell you how bad they really need the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for the young people in here tonight. But I'll tell you, sometimes when we get at a certain age, I'll tell you, we think we got the world, I'll tell you, by the tail, and we can take and do everything on our own. But I won't tell you, friend, listen, God is still in control and still in charge. And so they were in the center of His will. They were obeying Him. But can I tell you, as I begin to take and read that, listen, and see what they were going through with, brother. I'll tell you, God was revealing to them how helpless they are without the Lord. Do you know what we are? We're helpless without Him. God help us tonight to see how helpless we are without the Lord. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how much you got or how much you don't have. Listen, when it comes down to it, we are helpless without Him.
That's right.
The second thing, watch this, I can see him as he work, as he bail water out, Brother Ricky, how it's in trying to take, and the more they done, the greater the storm got, and watch this, I can see that God was revealing to them how hopeless people are without the Lord. Yeah. I'm telling you, friend, we are hopeless without Him. And the Bible says, Brother Shepherd, the Bible says, there in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, verse chapter 15, verse number 19, if you just got hope in this life, you're most men miserable. I'm telling you, that's what most people's got. They just got hope. I'll tell you, in this world, and they're miserable. You're hopeless. I'll tell you, without the Lord.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm glad I got Him tonight, ain't you?
Amen.
And so sometimes it don't take much to get our attention, does it? I remember in 1974, I'd been saved for a while. Me and my wife had been married, I'll tell you, almost 4 years, and God let a storm, I'll tell you, come through, got my attention, praise God, I'll tell you, I've been out, I had a little 70, well, it wasn't too old then, I 70 Chevelle, 396, 4-speed, Cal induction, I've been out, I'll tell you, I forget what day of the week it was, but I'll tell you, I've been out shifting gears and squeaking tires, I'll tell you, when I come in, hell ball started a-falling, I never seen them that big, around our neck of the woods, and I run out and got some, held them up, had my wife to take a picture and put them in the freezer. But I'll tell you, when I went in, Brother Pleasant, when I went in and turned the radio on and they said, take cover, I tornadoed, already touched down in Nancy, Kentucky, I'll tell you, about 10 miles away from us, and they said, get in a cellar or a basement. I didn't have time to get in one, but they said, take the couch and turn it up. I'll tell you, on the west side, and that's what I've done. I took that old couch, I shoved it up against the wall, I'll tell you, put my wife there, that little three-week-old baby that God had given us, and I'll tell you, I got on the outside, brother, I wasn't praying out loud, but I'll tell you, I was doing some praying and talking to God, and listen, I promised God, Brother Shepherd, in that storm, if God would take and spare our life, I'd serve Him the rest of my days.
Amen.
I cannot tell you, that's the reason why I'm here tonight. God revealed to me how helpless I was.
Yes,
in the midst of the storm, I was helpless, I was hopeless, and I needed Him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Needed Him.
Yes, sir.
That was in April. I let a lot of folks killed. I tell you, around about, how God spared our life. And I tell you, God, let it be known to me. And I tell you, made it known to me. I let you, I'm hopeless and I'm helpless without Him. I let you, thank God. I let you, He's a forgiving God.
Yeah.
I tell you, He fixed it where we could take and be forgiven. I said, praise His name. I'm glad He don't take and throw us away. When we mess up, but He takes us back to the potter's wheel and begins to work on us. Let's mold us and make us more. What we need to, I tell you, sometimes storms come to reveal that we're frail and fragile and feeble and we're helpless and hopeless. Without Him, we've got to have Him.
That's right.
If I get sick, I'd rather have Him than the best doctor you can get.
Yeah, man.
They just go so far, but He can go all the way.
That's right.
I said, praise the Lord. Let me hurry now. I said, it wasn't going to take long. And so I see, there in that passage of Scripture, Brother Steve, how that God was revealing to them, listen, how frail, how fragile, how feeble, but how hopeless and how helpless they were without Him. This world, they won't tell you, but I'm telling you, they're in that kind of shape. They don't have Him, but they need Him. And God is showing them, I tell you, how bad they really need
Yes,
Him.
Sir. Amen.
They won't take Him. Yep. Well, the second thing that I saw in this passage of Scripture, that God was revealing to them, not only is revealing how fragile they were, but watch this, I think that storm was revealing them of what kind of faith that they had in Him. Now I looked, I won't turn down and read, but I looked in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and verses 1 down through verse number 6, and verse number 6, watch this now, verse number 6 said it's impossible to please God without faith. I said, praise God. You back up to chapter number 10, and verse number 38, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. Listen, God saved us by grace through faith, and God expects us to take and live and walk by faith. I'll tell you, in Him. And now we're living in a time where it seems like people has got so much and everybody's doing so much on their own that they take and forgot about Him. But can I tell you, listen, just in a moment of time, God can fix it in your life and send a storm in your life where He can reveal to you, I'll tell you, and make you notice what kind of faith that you've got in your life. Somebody said, well, preacher said it don't take much. It don't, but it takes the right kind.
Right.
A lot of people think that they've got a lot of faith. But I'm telling you, this old saying is, when the rubber meets the road, I'll tell you, they ain't got what it takes. Here's these disciples, brother. I'll tell you, they'd been with the Lord. I'll tell you, they would saw Him do the things that He had done. I'll tell you, they saw Him and His power and His might. And now here they are, I'll tell you, in a storm that He said, let's go to the other side. And I'm telling you, now they in such a predicament that they don't know what to do. Watch this. And they go wake Him and said, Master, Master, we're going to perish. Well, tell you, the ship would never go down with Him on board. I say, praise God. I said, hallelujah. I listen. He's the one that said we're going to the other side. But I'm telling you, listen, if we don't watch it, sometimes our faith gets so weak that we won't take and believe in Him and trust in Him the way He wants us to. But I'm telling you, listen, it don't take long to God to put us in a storm that'll cause us to see that we ain't got the kind of faith that's pleasing Him. And so, it didn't take them long. And I got to thinking about, the things that they had saw Him take and do. If you read some in those other passages of scriptures, He just got through a feeding, I'll tell you, a big crowd. I'll tell you, there was hunger. I'll tell you, I think it's 5,000 in one place. I'll tell you, watch this. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I'll tell you, began to take and hold them in His hand, and began to breathe on it and bless it. I said, praise God, and break it, and give to them, and fed on 5,000 men, plus the women and children. They said there's probably about 60,000 or more. I'll tell you, on the hillside that day, there could have been up to 100,000 or more. I'll tell you that He took and fed them that day. And you know who had to take that food and that to them? Praise God, the disciples. The one that's on the boat with the Master, He began to bring it and give to them. They had to take, I'll tell you, and give to those people that was hungry. And when all of them got full, they was going down. Hey, fellas, come back here. And I'll tell you, He made them give up the fragments that was left over. Each one of them had to pick up a basket. I'm talking about a little fragments. Somebody said, well, them just little baskets. I know you read and study. There's probably a bushel basket or bigger. I'll tell you, they had to take. Watch this, brother. They had to take each one of them. They had to take and fill up, I'll tell you, one of them baskets.
That's right.
God ever fed you? It used to back years ago. Brother Shepherd, I tell you, people had to take and pray it in. And now we just got means. We go get what we want. And if we don't want to cook it, praise God, we'll just go to a fast food restaurant. And I'll tell you, pick it up. But can I tell you, listen, in days gone by, listen, people had to take and pray it in. Can I tell you, it seemed like people, I was more happier then and closer to God. And you say, why, preacher? Because they's living by faith.
Yep.
They was dependent upon Him, how they were trusting Him after what they have need of. And now we got to the place where we think we don't have to have Him. We need Him more than what we think.
Yes, sir. We sure do.
God help us. And so, as I begin to think about that faith there here in this passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, chapter number 8 and verse number 25, I've got it jotted down here. I'll find it here in a minute. In the book of Luke, chapter number 8, He said, watch this. He said, where is your faith? Verse number 25, He said unto them, where is your faith? I thought, my soul, what a question. I watch this. He wasn't just asking anybody. Once somebody got off the street, I'll tell you, it's His disciples that He handpicked, that He took and was teaching them and learning them and had been with them. And I'll tell you, they had saw all the things that they had done now. He's saying, where is your faith?
Yes, sir.
What a question. I wonder what it'd be tonight. Now listen, if we got a question like that, what kind of answer we'd give?
Yeah.
I mean, people out there in the world, they believe more in politicians, I'll tell you, than they do in the Master.
Right.
They believe more in physicians, I'll tell you, than they do in the Master.
Right.
But I'm telling you, He's asking them, He said, where is your faith?
Right.
God has given us, the opportunity. God has made means for us to take and believe and trust in Him. Listen, not too many people doing it now in our day, but I'm telling you, He asked them, He said, where is your faith? Wonder what our answer would be tonight if we had to take and answer Him. You look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, and verse number 26, and He said this. He said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I'm telling you, He knew. See, we can't hide from Him. I mean, we can get up. I'll tell you, and sang that song, Living by Faith. And I'll tell you, God knows down deep in our heart that we ain't living by faith the way that God wants us to. We can't please Him without faith. I'm telling you tonight, upon authority of God's Word, God knows. And then He said, I've died in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse number 26. He said, why are you so fearful? Why are you fearful, ye of little faith? And then, I'll tell you, look in the book of Mark, chapter 4, and verse number 40. He said, why are you so fearful? And then He said this, Brother Pleasant. He said, how is you have no faith?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, they did not have no faith. Watch this. I'm telling you, brother. Listen, they had saw Him do things right before they got on a ship, and now He's telling them you have no faith.
Right.
And I look up here. I ain't no spiritual giant. I'll tell you, my faith gets weak. I'll tell you a lot. But I'm telling you, God, I can put us in a place and in a position and in a storm where we'll trust Him. There ain't no other way out. I said, praise His name tonight. Hey, He ain't trying to hurt us. He's not trying to knock us out. I'm telling you, He's trying to fix us where we can take and be pleasing and that to Him.
Amen.
Wants us to be pleasing to Him. Now here was what I want to get to tonight. Sometimes, brother Shepherd, the wrong kind of faith will make us kind of forgetful.
Yeah.
And you think about it. I tell you, if we ain't got the right kind of faith, I tell you, we'll get kind of forgetful. And as I thought about these disciples, watch this, they had forgot, listen, about His presence being on board. I won't tell you, He never got up and left. He didn't walk away and leave them. His presence was right there with Him all the time. I believe they forgot about that because they didn't have the right kind of faith. God saved me and took up His abode on the inside of me, and He promised me, like He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you always, even until the end. But I'm telling you, sometimes if we don't watch ourselves, we'll get in a mess, and we think we are by ourselves. I've done it. I'll tell you, come to myself and realize, preacher, He ain't left me. Hey, He ain't forsaken me. He's there all the time, praise God. Can I tell you, preacher, what make us do that? When we get the wrong kind of faith, it'll make us forget. I'll tell you about His presence.
Right.
Now look here, I thought, why were they so surprised? I tell you, when he said, and other place he said, peace be still, and everything just calmed down. Why were they so surprised? I listened about his power, how that he could do that. They had the wrong kind of faith. I tell you, hey, they didn't think about his presence, and they didn't think about his power, because they were thinking, I'll tell you, more of the self than was of him. I will tell you, listen, friend, we think too much of herself,
yes,
in the day we live. But I'm telling you, listen, just a little storm like that, they realize, I'll tell you, he got their attention, and he said, how come you have no faith?
Yes, sir.
No faith. They forgot about his presence.
Yep.
Forgot about his power. Watch this. They forgot about what he done in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a problem, got down and prayed, and asked God to take him, answer it for you, do it for you, and then he does it.
Yep.
And then after a little while, I'll tell you, sometimes you get out in the same situation, and the next thing you know, you go all to pieces. I'll tell you, you forgot about his presence.
Right.
He's still with you. I forgot about his power. He's already done it for you. And I'll tell you, hey, I forgot what he's done in the past.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, God help us. That we might take, I'll tell you, not forget what God's done for us, what he has done, what he is done, and what he's going to do. He's already promised us that he supplied our every need.
Amen. That's right.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Amen.
How do I make us jump up and down? I'll tell you, take a lap or two around, and then when we sit down, I'll tell you, hey, and get to thinking about what he's already done, and he's still going to do it, and going to do it in the future. That ought to take and make us do it all over again.
Amen.
I'm telling you, say, preacher, what's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. The storm revealed. I'll tell you what kind of faith they had, and they didn't have none. Lord, help us.
Yes, sir. That's right. We need it.
And all the time. They sang a song sometime. He's there all the time.
Yeah.
And he's there all the time. And you get to talking around and about. And I tell you, I'm not downing people. I felt like this myself. I tell you, Brother Pleasant, but sometimes you just feel like, I tell you, all alone, and there ain't another preacher around anywhere. And I tell you, it seemed like a church. It seemed like it's not growing, and the people don't really care. I tell you, it seems like we get that kind of attitude. That the people don't even really care. They don't really care about the church. I don't care about you and your preaching. And I'll tell you what you're trying to do to help them. They don't appreciate it. And sometimes, I'll tell you, I just get so, I'll just get so wrapped up in it that I'll take and have a pity party myself and not even invite my wife.
Yeah.
She don't even know about it.
Yeah.
She can lay down and go to sleep. It don't bother her a bit. Lord have mercy, I'm up and wringing my hands. I'll tell you, hey, and thank God some plumb off and left and forgot me. I'll tell you, get to praying, brother, and get to rekindle and believing in that faith.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that we have in our life, and I'm going to tell you, things smooth out a lot better. I thank God it'll make you want to get up and go to church and testify and praise God and jump them down and tell people, I'll mention what God's done for you. I'm telling you, I'll mention the wrong kind of faith to get us. I'll tell you, I'll mention off our eyes off of him.
Right. Yes, sir.
Forget about him.
Yeah.
You say, well, preacher, how you know? Well, do you ever catch yourself? How do you ever catch yourself getting down and praying and telling God how big your problems is? How big the storm is in your life, and you don't think you'll be able to take and go to heaven, it looks like you're going to sink before you get there. I'm telling you, hey, could you imagine these disciples? I'll tell you, they probably prayed somewhere or another, and I'll tell you, they thought for sure that it's over for them, and I'll tell you, finally they woke the Master up. I'm telling you, it shook him and woke him up and said, Master, are we going to perish? But when he got up there and said, peace be still.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Has God ever done anything like that for you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And most of the time, they're listening. And I'm not trying to be critical, but most of the time our praying, our listening is telling God, our listening what we need, and how big the bills is, and how less money we've got, and how big the problem is, and the devil says, your God, I have so little, if he so big, that you say he is, our listening, all this have been taken care of.
Yeah.
But then we go to pray. And I'll tell you, God does something like, I'll tell you, the disciples, and all of a sudden, I'll tell you, our storm is not as big as what we think it is. And still telling God, I'll listen how big the storm is. How we tell the storm how, I'll listen how big God is. How we tell our problems how big God is. Thank God. And there's nothing impossible with God. I cannot tell you, God is still, I'm telling you, God is still a big God.
Amen.
Real big God.
Amen.
So why did he let the storm come to them? The Lord is the one that told them. He said, where is your faith?
Yeah.
And then them other passage of scriptures there in the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse number 26, and the book of Mark chapter 4, verse number 40. I tell you, he was telling them, they was telling them after he calmed the storm, and I'll tell you, the waves and the wind, and I'll tell you, that water just laid down, and now, I tell you, they can see how big God really is.
Amen.
They said, what manner of man is this?
Yeah.
They can do such a thing. Well, what manner of man is, I'll tell you, to make the blinded eyes to see,
yes,
and the crippled to walk, and I'll tell you, the leper's clean,
yes,
I praise God, and feed 5,000 men plus the women and the children.
Right.
What kind of man, I'll tell you, is that?
Amen.
Hey, look here. What kind of God are you serving tonight?
Right. Amen. Good.
Little God? Yeah. He's not a little God.
No,
I tell you, a lot of people think he's God. You can take him, put in the box, and keep him yourself in the closet and just get him out. I'll let you know every now and then when you need him. I want to tell you, he's not that kind of God. If that's the kind of God you got, you better get rid of it, junk it. I praise God, get a hold of it. I'm talking about the Almighty God, our soon coming King. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, God is still a big God.
Amen.
He's a big God. Well, I believe he let the storm come to show how frail and fragile and feeble they are, and how helpless and how hopeless that you are. And I believe he let the storm come. I tell you, to take and show them. I tell you that their faith. I tell you that they didn't have the right kind that they needed. I tell you, hey, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to exercise faith somewhere along the way. I tell you, it's impossible to please him without faith. And you can't even get saved without faith. Somebody said, I thought I was grace. Read Ephesians chapter number 2, for by grace through faith. I'll tell you, you're saved.
Right.
Somebody's got to put your trust in him, amen.
That's right.
Well, let me hasten on here. I'll try to get done. And so I thought, after that, Brother Shepherd, and in verse number 25, in other passages of scriptures, when they said, what manner of man is this, that he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I think what he was doing, he was revealing to them the greatness of the Father.
Amen. That's right.
The greatness of the Father. I'll tell you about this, and as I begin to think, you read the scripture there. You read the scripture, you can see, watch this, you can see the magnitude of the storm. A lot of people said, well, it wasn't much of a storm. I'm telling you, you take and read in the three passages of scripture there, and the water, I'll tell you, was overflowing them in such a way, I'll tell you, that they couldn't take and control it. Just let me read it to you. I'll tell you, I'll try to explain it, but I believe the scriptures, I'll tell you, explain it even more. I look there in the book of Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 37, the Bible said it's so great, the ship, I'll tell you, was full. And then in verse number 37, I said the waves beat in the ship. ship. I'll tell you, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. I'm telling you, we're not talking, I mentioned about a little something that could take a 5 gallon bucket. I'm telling you, Bill, I'm talking about something. I'm telling you that the waves was bigger than the ship, and the water filled the ship. I'll tell you, pretty good sized storm, ain't it? If I'd been on board, listen, they wouldn't have to come out and test it. I said, I would have called them in, and I said, it's bigger than an F5. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest ones they measure now, ain't it? I'll tell you, if I'd have been on fire, Brother Shepherd, I'd have been the biggest one it ever been. I praise God, it went down on record. I'll tell you, I've been in the biggest storm that's ever been.
Yeah.
Pretty good sized storm.
Yeah.
Now, let me read you another verse. I'm talking about the greatness of the Savior. Look in the book of Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 24. The Bible said, "There arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the water. But Jesus was asleep." Didn't bother Him not one bit. It didn't come to get His attention. I'll tell you what He done. He tried to get those disciples' attention in such a way. Look in the book of Luke where I read, again, you're hearing tonight, chapter 8, verse number 23. And the Bible said, as they sailed, He fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. In other words, they thought their life was going to be gone. Can I tell you, tonight, eternal life ain't going to be taken away from us.
Amen.
Praise God. I've had people say, "Well, preacher, they'll put you on the sod one day after a while." They might put me on the sod, but I ain't going to be dead. I've got eternal life. I've been more alive then than I am right now. Amen. I said, praise God. Somebody said, "I'll tell you, God, give me that kind of faith in Him." I'll tell you, when He saved my soul.
Amen.
When He saved my soul. Well, praise the Lord.
That's right.
And so I see the magnitude of the storm. But I can see the mightiness of the Master in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 39. He just walked out and said, "Peace be still," and the winds ceased, and there was a great calm.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Just His Word.
Yeah.
His Word. And it was all over. And He's the Christ. He's the Savior. And watch this. You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to trust in Him. Mm-hmm. Trust in Him.
That's right.
Now, I think sometimes, Brother Shepherd, and we don't know, we can't see, but if the Lord was to really roll back and people could see what we really was and how we really trusted in the Savior, I wonder what they would see.
Yeah.
Now, you can look there. What is it? In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, verses 3, 4, and 5, where He said, "Trust in the Lord," watch this, "with all thine heart."
That's right.
"In all thy ways, acknowledge Him,"
right,
"and He shall direct thy path."
Yes, sir.
God has fixed a way that we can be blessed if we'll trust in Him. You know what it really boiled down to? Those disciples weren't really trusting in Him.
Right.
You can't hardly separate faith and belief. I mean, first cousins. I mean, you talk about one, you talk about the other.
Right.
And so what the Lord wants us to do is to believe and trust in Him and depend upon Him.
Yes.
In everything that we do.
That's right.
All right, listen to me tonight, church. In everything we do, if we're saved by the grace of God, God wants us to believe and trust and put our dependence in Him. I'm talking about everything.
Amen.
Everything. I remember one time back years ago, we got back in church, and Brother Pleasant, my brother, had a truck. And he was going to sell it, buy him another. And I told my wife, I said, "I want that truck." And so I got down and prayed, and the answer was no.
Yeah.
So I got down and prayed again,
yeah,
and the answer was no.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I got kind of irritated, got upset. I know y'all don't do that, but over there in our neck of the woods, we get kind of irritated every now and then when we don't get our way.
Yeah.
We We got people over there in Baptist churches, man. If they don't get their way, they'll throw a fit.
Yes, sir.
You ever seen a backsliding Baptist throw a fit?
Yeah.
And they can throw them over there, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't get my way. Well, it ain't your way. So I was telling that story about that truck, and so I got my wife to pray. She remembered. I said, you pray. You pray and ask God. I want that truck. See what kind of answer it gives you. Hey, preacher. And when she come back, you know what she said? She said, uh-uh.
Yeah.
He said, no. Well, I said, I want that truck. I'm going to go get that truck. So I got my vehicle, started out 90, got up 90, got up 27. And I tell you, I got to thinking about God said no. And so y'all probably don't do anything like this. But I tell you, Brother Pleasant, I got to driving up the road. And I tell you, I could see a vehicle coming in on me and all that metal, that glass. I tell you, starting to come in where I was at. I thought, oh, Lord. And I tell you, I turned around and went back home.
Amen.
My wife said, I thought she was going to get the truck. I said, I think I'll wait a while.
Yeah.
God, look here. God wants us to take and trust in Him.
Now,
you think about this past week now. God's given you 7 days. He's given you 168 hours. Out of that 7 days and that 168 hours, how much have you really trusted in Him?
Right.
How much have you really trusted in Him?
Yes, sir.
Kind of draws us a picture, don't it?
You say,
preacher, I thought sure of them disciples after seeing that their faith would increase. I did too when I got to read it. I thought, my soul, their faith ought to have been increased in such a way. I tell you, if a storm come up, they'd ought to have been able to step out there on that bow of that ship and said, peace be still.
Yeah.
And it should have happened. But I got to thinking about myself.
Yeah.
I didn't get too hard on them.
That's right.
And I tell you, if I told Brother Shepherd, I'll make it the last Sunday of this month. I've been saved for 55 years. You would think somebody had been saved for 55 years. Their faith been strong. They wouldn't have to. They wouldn't have to go through no storms at all, would they?
Yeah.
I'm made out of the same stuff that you're made out of.
That's right.
The devil bothers me just like he bothers you.
Right.
Your pastor ain't no spiritual giant. He has problems just like you do. I tell you, he has storms come through him just like you. I'm telling you, we all do.
Sure
just
we do.
Hey, just because we're saved, just because we're called to preach, don't exempt us from storms.
Right.
But I tell you what the Lord's after. The Lord's after us to trust in Him.
Amen.
And if we don't, if you're hard-headed like I am, you don't, He's got a little storm He'll send by your way.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get your attention. He's going to get your attention. He's going to get your attention. I guess, I don't know. My wife said, I'm like my dad. My dad's a real independent person. And said, you're just like him. She almost says, I'm stubborn. But I remember when God was dealing with me to preach, I take care of services stuff. I mean, instead of announcing my call to preach, I let them ordain me as a deacon. In 1975, me and my dad was ordained together and another fella. And I thought that'd take care of it.
Yeah.
And so it would still bother me. I'd preach to myself. I don't know about the other preachers. You ever preach to yourself when God calls you to preach? Lord, I tell you, I'd preach to myself going up and down the road. I remember one time I went to pick up Jamie down in Macquarie County, and I got to preach to myself. I got to praying and preaching to myself. I was going to Macquarie County, and when I come to myself, I don't know how I got down there, but I was all the way to the state line in Tennessee, and when I pulled off the side of the road, I saw some lights blinking. Thank God, I thought the Lord was coming, and I was at the Hobo Inn. And I come to myself, I said, Lord God, if anybody sees me here in the parking lot of the Hobo Inn, if you don't know what that was, I ain't telling you. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of drunks there. And I'll tell you, I pulled back out on the road, and I'll tell you, I went back up the road, and I thought, my soul, Lord, how did I ever get down there without hitting anybody?
Yeah.
And so God wanted me to take and tell the church that God called me to preach.
Right.
I said, Lord, I done surrendered to preach. And so I done this. I went and talked to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I believe God's called me to preach. And he kind of laughed at me. So I said, well, so I fought that. But he said, I'll tell you, I'll give you some good advice. He said, if you can get out of it, get out of it.
Yep.
Well, praise God. That's the answer I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And watch this. For 6 years, Brother Pless and I went. That was in 1975. And I'd still take care of service, but that wasn't what God said.
Right.
God said, I want you to trust me.
Yep.
I want you to believe in me. And God loaded me down. Then I tell you, I was still working at the factory, and I'd pray when I'd get on. Y'all don't know where that's at. Cedar Grove Road, them coal trucks around that road, just a little narrow, 2-lane road. And I tell you, when I got on that road, I'd pray all the way to work that God wouldn't let one of them coal trucks hit me and let me live. And when I got off of work, I didn't even tell my wife this. Listen, when I got off of work, listen, I'd pray. When I get in the car, I'd pray that God would take and not let none of the coal trucks hit me. Let me get home safe to be my family.
Yeah.
Till September 1981. Me and my wife went into church that night, put our oldest son to bed. We got down on the living room floor, I tell you, and prayed and asked God. I said, God, if that's what you want, God said, that's what I want. I said, God, if that's what you want, God said, that's what I want. I said, God, if that's what you want, if you'll help me, I'll try.
Amen.
He said, that's what I want.
Amen.
That was in September 1981. In 1982, about a year later, a little over a year later, me and my wife's brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, her brother, we rode to work together of a morning and of an evening. And so this day, we rode that morning. My wife had to take our son to the dentist's office. And so we got together after work. We rode. He let me off with her. And he said, I'm going by the bank. I said, I'm going by the post office. I said, I'll see you when we get home. And before we got home, we turned to go to the subdivision. There was two or three cars had stopped. There was a truck, a coal truck. There was three cars hit him in the rear and knocked his car out in the other lane. He had his wheels turned to go on the subdivision, and that truck hit him dead center of that car. And it squashed that car into right where he was sitting. And I made my wife get down, get her head down where she couldn't look at it. They just lived up the hill from us, took her up to her mom's, and I went back down there. And you know what, God? I know God don't speak in an audible voice, but this is what God said. He said, if you hadn't done it, you'd been done.
Yep. Yep.
You ask me why I get excited when I preach. You ask me why. Why? Somebody said, well, preacher, it looks like you're going to have a heart attack. I said, praise God, what a way to go. I give it my best.
Amen.
Because He gave His best for me.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Where is your faith?
Amen.
Church, it ain't all on your pastor. It's you.
Sure.
Where is your faith?
Amen.
He can't exercise your faith for you.
Right.
Where is your faith?
Amen.
Where is the mightiness of the Savior in your life?
Right.
Has He ever done anything for you lately? Most of the time when we talk about something 35, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
God's still God today.
Amen.
God's still God today. Amen. And so why is storm sent our way? Not to hurt you.
Yeah.
Not to cripple you.
Right.
Not to get you hard-hearted that you want to quit on God.
Right.
But God wants you to come and get close to Him. Look here. And put your trust in Him.
Amen.
In Him. I believe if we've done that, Brother Shepherd, we would see things happen for the glory of God. Let's stand tonight, Father. Sure, thank you for letting us be here. Lord, we sure thank you for this weekend. It's certainly been a help and a blessing to us, and me and my wife have certainly enjoyed it. We just ask you now, Lord, that you would take the message and use it in our little weak way, the way we had to deliver it. But God, you know what needs to take place in this service, in the hearts and lives of people. Lord, you know my heart. You know I had three or four messages I wanted to preach. God, you said this is it. And I tried to do it the best I could. Now, Lord, I sure thank you, Father, for your promise that you said your word would not return void, but accomplish that which you please. Lord, I ask tonight that we might search our heart and our life out. see where we really stand with you. Lord, are we really trusting you, or are we just playing games with you? Lord, it's just something we don't play games with. God, it's too big. It's too serious. Lord, help us tonight, I pray, to put our trust in you. Lord, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Lord, I just pray that you'd help folks tonight just believe and trust in you in such a way that you'd be able to bless them. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray and ask these things. Amen.